Welcome back to Fantasy Insanity. I have one of my fellow Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network fellows with me, Kevin Cotillo. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, John. I think I was telling you a little bit off air. I'm a little frazzled, but hopefully that'll make for some good conversation since it's because of fantasy. So,
yeah.
Happy to be here, though. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Is you've decided to make a journey that I kind of made last year, and I think you're crazy for it, and I completely respect that. I mean, I think you're insane for that, and I completely respect that. Before we get into that, though, we'll start. Where can people find you and everything? Let's give you some publicity first to the six people that listen to this.
Yeah, awesome. So you can check me out on Twitter at Wally Central. That's if you ever want to get in touch with me directly. But you can hear me on the Falafel House podcast. You can get that on anything, any place you get podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all of that. We have the website falafelhouse.com. That's falafelhouse.com for those of you who aren't aware. And you can check that out. The podcast is up there as well. We're not really too active on the website right now. It's mostly an in-season type of deal. But we do have some stuff going up, like some rankings and things like that we'll have up pretty shortly. So you can check that out. And anywhere else, obviously, I'm trying to do the circuit. So I'm here with you. And I'll probably be on some other podcasts in the near future as well. So I'm sure you'll hear me around.
Good. And Falafel is all uppercase letters, just in case anybody's wondering, right? All uppercase.
That is correct. Yes, all uppercase. I'd be remiss if I didn't plug my buddies on the Falafel House, who I'm sure you know very well, at Lito Sal on Twitter and at Sid Skeet on Twitter. Check those guys out too. They're on the podcast with me, and they're great follows. So,
yeah, one of those guys is just great.
So, yeah. One of them is. Yeah, it's very true.
All right. So let's start with when did you start playing fantasy, whether it be football or another sport?
Yeah, I probably started fantasy with baseball back in the day. I was a big baseball guy growing up, big baseball guy into high school. I'm from the Boston area, so obviously a big Red Sox fan. And it was kind of like the lifeblood growing up. I was a big football fan as well, but baseball trumped football for a while. And then when I first dipped into fantasy, it was probably, I want to say in the very, very early 2000s. So somewhere in the 2000 range, maybe 99, 2000, somewhere in that range is when I first started a fantasy baseball team. And, it was all right. Fantasy baseball is what it is. I'm sure you have some fans of it out there as listeners. But for me, baseball becomes such a grind. Fantasy baseball is such a grind. It's such a long season. And then a couple of years into it, I started playing fantasy football, and basically the world changed because I loved it. I mean, it's such a better sport. The weekly lineups, the activity, from week to week, the waiver wires being as important as they are in fantasy football compared to baseball and the season-long grind. I mean, it's just there was so much different and so much that I loved about it that's really where it took off for me. So I started, just regular leagues, a couple of buddies, home leagues, and then started doing some old Yahoo-like public leagues, just getting involved in those, even though no one really cared about them. I did. So that's how it started. Joined a few leagues that have disbanded, a few leagues, and then one league is really my longest standing league that's been going on for, I want to say, 10 years now. So we'll be going into the 10th season this year.
What's the name of that league?
It's called the Real Men of Genius League. It's from it was started by a good buddy of mine's brother-in-law, and I was like the last guy in the league. One of my best friends was in it and they needed an extra guy, and he said, yeah, do you want to play in this? And I was like, yeah, all right, why not? Didn't really know too many of the guys too well, and now it's 10 years later, and we hang out, we have guys night out and that kind of thing. So it's a good time. It's a great league. They're not as crazy about fantasy as I am. They stupidly asked me for some recommendations as to how we could improve the league this year, and I think the list was too long. I think I made everyone angry. So,
all right. Well, I need you to do one thing. I need you to go back and probably pronounce the name of that league again, because I don't think it had the right tone to it when you said it.
Fair enough. It's the Real Men of Genius League. So you remember the old those old commercials? What were they, the Bud Light commercials? We salute you, you know, Mr. Fantasy Football Player, that kind of thing. So that was that's the basic setup of the league. That's where the name came from. So Real Men of Genius.
Oh, he's not going to do the little song jingle with it. That's such a disappointment, Kevin.
Nope.
I tried to bait you in there. I guess I need to get Sal if I want to have song and dance on the podcast. So.
If you want music, Sal's got to be the guy. So.
All right. So after you did that, then, you know, when did you decide that you really wanted fantasy football to be something more than just, you know, something that comes along in the fall and keeps you occupied during the NFL season? When did you get that urge to do more, to do something like, you know, the website and then go a little deeper into fantasy?
Yeah. So last year, last year in August, I guess I'll say, or 2015 in August, I should say, I found the Fantasy Life app. And for those of you who don't know, you know, Fantasy Life app is the app that was built based on Matthew Berry's book, The Fantasy Life. It's just an online, you know, community, social media type website or type app where you can go in and chat with other people that are addicted to, you know, fantasy sports and that kind of thing. And I first went on there around August and started looking around and playing around and talking to people and was looking for more leagues, really, because I wanted to find some leagues with people that really, really cared about it, just because I knew that the leagues that I was in, while they were great and they were fun because they were with buddies, they weren't like hardcore fantasy players, and that's what I wanted. So I started looking at posts for people, looking for people for leagues. And one of the leagues I found was the Falafel League, which is the fantasy, it actually stands for the Fantasy Life App Fantasy Football League, started by, you know, Steve Marcus, who is one of the other guys on the podcast. And, you know, it's a 14 team league. Just, you know, regular scoring, nothing too crazy. It's a redraft league. There's three keepers, that kind of thing. But it all started, you know, with getting into that league. And that league had a specific chat on the Fantasy Life app. And that chat kind of blew up. Interestingly enough, it was an accident because he left it open. He left it public for some reason, even though it was for a league. I think he didn't know how to make it private or whatever, but it was open to the public and people kept popping in saying, hey, you know, is this league still open? And, you know, we'd say no, but then they wouldn't leave. Like, they just continue to stick in the chat and talk about football. So the chat just kind of grew and grew and grew. And as the season wore on, there were so many people in there that were just coming in for fantasy advice or just talking about fantasy football on a regular basis. But some of the guys that, you know, were the mainstays, myself, Steve, Sal, for example, and a couple others said, you know, we should really do more with this. We have a great, you know, following here now. We should take advantage of that. And so we started the podcast in February of 16, I think it was. And, you know, then started the website over the summer. And, you know, lo and behold, we now have this week actually will be our 100th episode. So wow. we've been pumping them out like crazy. And, you know, it's funny. I go back and listen to some of the first ones and we talk about different sports and we weren't football. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing for a while. So, you know, not that we do now, but at least it's all about football. So.
Yeah, football definitely has the audience. I'm sure there are plenty of baseball podcasts out there, and I know there's NASCAR podcasts, and I'm sure there's NBA and stuff like that too, but there's nothing like football, it seems. I don't know how anything can compete with it. I almost feel bad for, like, Major League Baseball and the NBA. I mean, they just – I don't – how they schedule games against the NFL, how they do anything against the NFL, it's just – they've got to just feel like they're getting crushed by them.
Yeah, you feel like when Mark Cuban says stuff like, "Oh, the NFL is going to get too big for itself, and it'll fall. You know, it'll collapse a little bit." It's not going anywhere. Because people love the sport, and they know that it's, you know, at most you get 20 games a year of your favorite team. That's it. So, you know, some of us get 20 games a year more than others, but, you know, I'm just saying.
I think we're about 5 minutes in. Somebody go down and look at your clock, folks. I think we're about 5 minutes in before we have the first Patriots brag. Oh, geez, Patriots fans. All right. So
I can't believe I made it 5 minutes, to be honest. That's impressive for me.
That really probably should have been your introduction. Like, Patriots honk, Kevin Cotillo joining me now, you know?
Season ticket holder, in fact. So, you know, I like to throw that out there as well.
There you go. All right. let's get back on track to interest things that are interesting to everybody else.
Sorry. I sometimes I get a little long in my answers. So just cut me off anytime. I promise that I won't be offended. Right,
next time you mention that thing on your head, I'll just cut you off right there. So, so once you were doing the podcast, you know, that obviously opened up some new avenues.
You could say that. Yep.
Yeah. So you made the decision. I'm not sure if it was a conscious decision or if it was an accident. What was the process that led you to the expansion that has been your, I guess, 2017? Probably just over the last few months, mostly, hasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much since January is really when they all started, you know, because I missed out. Obviously, I blame you for this, but I missed out on the podcast league that you all are a part of. And that was the earliest auction that I think I heard of. So
that was Tyler. That was Tyler. We will totally blame Tyler.
Right.
And I think if somebody drops out, I think you guys are probably right on that list for the Floffle to jump in. So
right. So
now that you guys are part of the network, I really feel like you guys should have a reserved spot.
We'll work on that. We'll talk to Tyler and get that going. So, but that was the earliest auction I've heard of. So you got to figure that was January. Most of the ones I'm in now didn't start until, you know, shortly thereafter. So my February and March has been a little nutty, to say the least. But it started last year. I was working with some of the Fantasy Authority guys. I'm sure you know some of them. You had them on recently, Travis and Justin, who are in your Power Hungry League, the reigning champions.
And we made it. So we made it like 7 minutes before there was a brag for Travis May. Good grief.
Yeah, there is no one I think I run into more right now than Travis May. That guy's everywhere.
He's in a lot of places.
He's very good at what he does, though. So I urge people to check him out on a regular basis. But at the time, both him and Justin were working for TFA. They do the podcast, The Dynasty Life. I was going to be doing some writing for TFA. It actually didn't work out, just basically because of time. I didn't have the time. But those guys were great, and they were starting a new Dynasty League. It was called the New Hollywood League. I'm not sure how exactly they landed on that, but that's the name of it. And I got invited to it, and it was my first Dynasty. It was a Devi League. I had no idea what. I think I actually had to Google Devi before I even started to play, because I was like, I think this is developmental, but I'm not sure. I got to confirm that. So yeah, it was a Devi League, and I was like, all right, this would be interesting. I don't have any of those. I'm going to get started in it. And so that was the 2016 season, and I won, which is great. Had a great draft.
Did you seriously win that league?
Yeah, won the league in the first year, so I am the reigning champion.
Nice job.
Yeah, not nice bad. I'm not sure. I think the team will be okay for a couple of years, but it might fall apart pretty quickly. So I'm hoping to get one of the first couple championships, and we'll see what happens from there. But my Devi selections, I didn't know what I was doing. So, and I was actually really, really busy when they had the draft. So I let them draft for me, and that didn't go, I don't know. Anyway. So that was my first trip into the Dynasty world, and having won the league, and then realizing that when the season ended, there was still more to do is what really hooked me. So when we ended in, December, and then I'm looking at my team and I can still make trades and I can still think about what I'm, how I'm planning for next year. And I'm starting to look at the roster and I'm like, well, I need more of this, right? Because all my other leagues are ended. I have nothing to do with them. And, my Real Men of Genius League is actually considering taking away keepers. I think because they don't want me to have the guys that I have on my team anymore. So I'm like, so I need more to do. So let me get involved in some more dynasty leagues. And I think I might have gone too far. You can tell me, but I think I may have pushed it a little too far. So,
I am not the one to judge that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
You're asking the wrong guy if you're asking if somebody's gone too far.
That's for sure. It's, so it started with, I'm trying to think now. I think the first league I took over was the MFL 10 that never ends, had an opening. It's actually the second format of that, run by Nathan Powell. And it's basically exactly what it says, right? It's an MFL 10, but it's a dynasty MFL 10. So, you know, you pick your team, you have your roster, you have, you know, you do the rookie drafts, all that, but you don't have to set lineups, which to me kind of appealed to me because I could do all the other stuff that I was looking to get more of, but there would be less work during the season, which I think is great. So, so I joined that. And then there was someone had an opening. One of the guys from the New Hollywood League had an opening in one of he wanted to leave one of his leagues because he was cutting down. I feel like, and maybe you can tell me this, when you joined all your leagues, I don't know if they were all startups or some orphans or whatnot, but I feel like the more people cut down, that's kind of how I got to where I am. Like all of a sudden people were like, yeah, I'm cutting down. I'm like, all right, well, I'll take it. So,
I took over, I think my first year, I think I took over two orphans in my first year. The rest of them were startups. I think I've taken over a couple of orphans this year, that were best ball. Cause like those aren't going to be too terribly difficult to keep up with.
Yeah.
So I felt okay with those. And then of course you and I have taken over an orphan together, which we get a co-own.
Yep.
That we're currently auctioning in the dispersal auction for Kitchen Sink 3 right now. So we both wanted in the Kitchen Sink leagues. You ended up, of course, because you're even more overboard than I am, apparently. you decided just co-owning for one wasn't enough.
That's right.
To go into two, and then today added another one. How did that happen?
Yeah. So you and I both got the list of open teams. We decided to co-own the Kitchen Sink 3. It's a good format. It's a very interesting format. I'm sure. I think you've had an episode about it as well, right?
My premiere. Kitchen Sink was my premiere.
Yeah, so a great format and very interesting. And I was like, well, you know what? I'll take on one by myself too because, well, for one, I don't know how co-owning with you really is going to be. We're going to see how this goes, right? I think we'll be fine. We seem to be doing well with the draft. I like the auction. I like where we're going with this dispersal. So
it'll be over before this is out. So
yeah,
we can talk freely that we think we're doing all right.
Yeah, that's right. So so I took another team in the Kitchen Sink League, and then you know because there was another open, that auction actually already finished. So I've got my team there now. I just have to assign some contracts, and I'll be good to go. Interestingly enough today, so Ryan McDowell, who is obviously the owner of the Kitchen Sink Leagues, manages them all, commissions them all. He reached out to me today on Twitter and said that they had someone, they're in the middle of Kitchen Cinco, which is the fifth version of the league. It's a bigger version of the league. There's more divisions. I think there's four divisions overall. And they had someone bail mid auction. I don't even know who it was, but he said, we're in a tough spot. We need someone to take the team like today because it's literally in the middle of the auction. So I said, yeah, why not? I mean, at the end of the day, what's one more, right?
that's how we end up getting up to like 19, 20, 21 because it's just one more. At this point, it's only like another 10 minutes while I'm on MFL already.
That's right.
I just have to check one more team. That's right. Not that bad.
Yeah. So, the interesting thing is going to be next year, right? Because, and you're in the second year, so maybe you can prepare me for this. But next year, when all these auctions that I'm doing now, I have run their course and I have the teams and I'm working on things and, there's rookie startups and whatnot, but there's no startup auction. I'm going to want that, I think. And that's what scares me.
Yep, you are. I would love to tell you that, that you won't want to join any new ones next year, but I've already joined. So this year I added the UDP, which was a draft, Pigs 2. Obviously we'll get to the big one that I started that you're in. Mm-hmm. And that's a monster one. So I think those are maybe the only new ones that I've added. Have I added another? I don't know. For now, that's all I can think of. That's how bad it is. I mean, I literally, there could have been another startup that I already did that I can't think of, which is awful. But I, you know, I've got Red List Dynasty coming up with Matt Price. That one.
Yeah, with Matt Price. Yet. Yeah. I thought about that one too. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be fun. It's he's got the chat going. The chat's pretty active. So the owners seem to be very interested. So I think that's going to be, you know, a lot of fun. If you can have an active chat in a league, usually the league's going to be fun. I mean, whether you win or lose, yeah, that winning does help it be fun, but even losing in an active league is just a lot of fun. So,
well, I'll tell you the interesting thing. So today when I got added to the Kitchen Cinco chat on Boxer, there was like four people that were like, oh, there goes the neighborhood kind of thing. Like, you know, well, basically welcoming me to the chat, but like, they're the same people that I keep running into. They're like, what are you doing? How are you taking another one?
Travis, so, Waz.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, Travis, Waz, Matt Price.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same group. And now they've seen me, you know, that I have a sickness of just taking these teams. So yeah.
It is funny how frequently you end up starting to run across the same people. part of it's just because whenever somebody forms a new league, the first thing they do is go to all their current leagues and they're like, hey, I got this idea. You know, who wants in on this? I mean, that's how, like, you know, Power Hungry, which you are now in, that's kind of how that one ended up. And there was a lot of crossover with Pigs because that was like the first group that I asked. I said, I have an idea for a league that I'm going to start. Who wants in? So, you know, several of them jumped in. That's just, and so you end up playing against the same people, but in different formats, different ways. And there's always a few new people. So it kind of spreads that community out. That web gets a little bit bigger and bigger. What did you think when I asked you if you wanted to join Power Hungry when I told you I had an opening in there?
Oh, man. Well, so I will tell you that knowing Sal and recording podcasts with Sal on a regular basis, who was in the league and who obviously went through the startup auction, I was hesitant because I don't know that I've heard him, and he's Sal, he's grumpy. He's a grumpy bastard, but I don't think I've ever heard him complain more than during that auction. He was so irritated with the $1 bid ups at the last minute. I mean, I can't even tell you. So I was like, do I really want to get involved with these people? And I mean, ultimately he said, you know, the season was great. And once, once the viciousness that is the non-proxy auction was over, it was great. But you know, so I was like, so that made me a little more comfortable. The league itself, I still don't even know that I've had time to really dig into. Obviously, you know, having gone through the dispersal and getting the team together, you know, that was obviously a lot of fun. I'm glad that it's over and ended when it did so that I had time to focus on all these other ones. But I will say, you know, the league itself is very interesting to me. I like the group of guys that are in it, and I'm curious to see how it's going to go. I don't have any superpowers, which makes me a little nervous. I think that dispersal auction went interestingly because I think we were aimed at different things. So it kind of went well, but at the same time, it was weird because we had very different targets. So I'm like, uh-oh.
Makes you wonder, why am I not going that way?
Yeah, what am I doing wrong?
Why is this so easy? Why is he not trying to stop me from what I'm trying to do?
Exactly.
You almost want that. Like, I'm not kidding because we are both now in Pigs 1 and Pigs 2. And honestly, if I put up a player that I really think should get bid on and, like, if they weren't bid on, I'd probably get a little bit nervous about why. Like, did I miss something in the news? Nobody slides through those auctions. So with all this exposure that you've now gotten to auctions, I guess we'll touch on the fact that you're in the Supremacy startup as well, which sure. At some point you and Sal are going to join me and we're going to actually dive in deep into the Supremacy League. We'll do an episode on that. But for right now, we're just doing an auction, for one of the formats. What are your feelings about starting a league, whether it be with auction or draft? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I mean, getting into these auctions more and even the kitchen sink leagues are obviously proxy auctions, which is the eBay style for, I'm sure most of your listeners know that at this point, but you know, versus the non-proxy, which is literally just cutthroat. I hate you drafting.
I laugh because I enjoy that. It's it's a part of the league that forms the league in a way that just nothing else does. I mean,
well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, the auction itself, it for one, it extends the fun, right? You have a typical redraft auction and redraft draft and you spend a few hours with your buddies or whoever you're in the league with, and you know, it's a good time. You chat, and hopefully there's a message board of some sort or a Skype call or something, and you're doing that, and it's great. And there's definitely some fun in doing it live and having to have a plan and you know, the clock ticking on your pick, you know, within a couple minutes. But at the same time, there's so much strategy involved with the auction, particularly if it, you know, even both formats with proxy and non-proxy, because you just have to figure out how to plan your money for one. But then you also have to figure out what everyone else is doing with their money, which direction they're going, how you can screw them over and make sure that they use their money on things that you don't actually want, but will get them to use their money. It's just overall, it's a great strategy game, I guess, and I love that about it. So for me, if I'm starting a league and it's anyone that's willing to do it, I'm going to go auction style, no questions asked. And you know, the non-proxy is definitely more fun in my opinion, just because, you know, I think that it can be ruthless. You build a bond through the hate. So, yes. And proxy is great because I think it does require a lot of strategy, but the non-proxy just adds such a vicious, aspect to it that makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah. And as long as people all understand that, and I think people do get upset, like you said, Sal, obviously you get agitated.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody ever takes it personally, which is good. No. It might seem personal at the time, but it's fantasy football and it's fun. And I'm a big proponent of non-proxy. I that's how I do mine. That's how Supremacy will be. I think I right now have one of them set to do a proxy format, but I don't know. I think we'll probably end up doing them all in non-proxy because it's just way, way, way more fun. We did the dispersal in proxy because it was only two of you, and that's just fast. It's a quick, dirty way to get through. I mean, that's the way we're doing our kitchen sink orphan that we took over. But yeah, I mean, we talk a lot during the day, probably more than we should when we're working stuff. About can we bump this guy up a little bit? I mean, so there are different strategies in the different types of auctions, but good. So I'm glad you're on board that auction is the way to go over draft.
I was going to say, one of the leagues that I actually started this year, like I said, we have the Falafel League that Steve started through the app and all that. And we started a league that this year through some of the guys that were in those other leagues. Cause I don't know how much you know about the original Falafel, but it's now turned into a tiered system where we have Falafel Junior and Falafel Embryo. So it's a relegation league and it's, you know, there's tiers to it. So, but we have some of the guys that were in various sections of that. And we've started this Falafel Elite League, which is a dynasty. It's the only one of the, its kind that's the dynasty. And I kind of forced them to do a non-proxy auction.
Nice.
Because, you know, at first I let them vote. You know, I was giving them the vote, expecting them to come
as long
through
as they voted correctly.
Yeah, exactly. And then, the votes were kind of split all over the place. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to make the executive decision. We're going to go non-proxy auction, and this is how we're going to do it. And they were nervous, I got to say, because there were some guys that had never done it before and things like that. And they were a little nervous, you know, about how to manage their budget and how to work the clock and things like that. But now that we're in it, I don't think any of them would change it for a minute. They love it because we're killing each other over it. So, and it's a great chat because it's a really good group of guys. So the chat is active all day and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely the way to start a league, in my opinion. I mean, there's just, unless you're looking for something super quick, take your time and let the league develop naturally and just have fun with that startup. It really is a lot of fun. So we've gone through a lot of the list of the leagues that you're in. A lot of them are set up in extremely, let's call it, non-standard ways. you know, obviously Kitchen Sink and Pigs are just, I mean, those are completely different than any other fantasy league. I'm pretty sure Supremacy and Power Hungry are as well. Catch 22 that you're in. I mean, that you didn't get to participate in the first year, but you're in it and you can see the uniqueness of it. Do you think that's going to change your outlook on like a regular dynasty league? Or it, I mean, right now you guys focus mostly on your podcast on redraft. I mean, in season, you're redraft, which is fine. I mean, everybody needs that to listen to, cause you have to, in the season, that's what you need to listen to is what you need to do that week. But, do you ever see it now that you're in all these, like, we'll call them extreme leagues or whatever you want to call them. They're different. I mean, there's something different about them. Do you ever think it could end up diminishing what you play, like for redraft and other leagues that aren't quite as extreme?
I will say the one thing that I will say yes for sure, because I can see, you know, this upcoming season, I had it, you know, a couple of leagues that the standard leagues that I was in, regular type redraft leagues and things like that with regular type scoring, whether, you know, maybe half point PPR at most, but they're single quarterbacks and they're, you know, your standard two running backs, three wide receivers, you know, tight end and a flex kind of thing. And that's it. But, and a couple of those are going away. I'll have the Real Men of Genius one because I, you know, those are great guys, and I'll always stay. I'll stay in that league as long as it's around. Back to back championships, you can't really quit the league after that anyway. So,
they just can't stop bragging.
That's it. But no, I mean, but honestly, with that league, and you know, there's probably some people in my family have been talking about starting a family league, so that'll probably be normal stuff because they're people that don't play very often. That's it. That's probably all I'm going to do for regular leagues from now on, because I just, you know, even the falafel elite league that I was just telling you about, and the new Hollywood league which was the first one. The new Hollywood at least has Debbie, but there's not a lot of strangeness to it outside of that. And then, you know, the Falafel Elite is at least an auction, but after that, it'll run like your typical dynasty. But there will be a rolling bankroll because, you know, and I'm stealing from Scott's Pigs League because
it's awesome.
Yeah, because it's awesome. And I can't do it. I can't do regular leagues anymore. So there's got to be some kind of twist. So, I guess I'm fully on board now with the quote unquote extreme leagues.
Yeah. So, you're echoing what I said like last year. And it's just funny to hear somebody else say that. And go, like, honestly, like I kind of got to watch you go through this because of so many leagues we're in together. Like, and I just saw you like continually expanding. And, I couldn't believe it how quickly you expanded and you jumped into all these unique scoring setups. We were talking, I think it was before we were recording, just about like the number of auctions that you currently have going on. How many is it right now?
So I was just looking at it. Yeah, I currently have 5 auctions that are ongoing, I believe. I'm pulling up my spreadsheet as we speak. So the Supremacy is pretty, we're pretty far in. I have a pretty decent roster there. Falafel League is about a week in on that one. Kitchen Sink 2 just wrapped up. That was a dispersal auction, so that I just finished. Pigs 2 is obviously still ongoing. We're in the very rough stages of that at this point because
it's been a rough stage since the beginning. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's been really tough because there was so much money being thrown around in the beginning, and now there's just no money to be had. And except we got to fill out a roster somehow. So there's that one, and then the Kitchen Cinco, and then which is an ongoing auction that I'm taking over in the middle of, and then Kitchen Sink 3, which you and I are doing together, which actually helps a little bit. And then the new Hollywood League just started talking about when to do the Debbie auction. So that's our draft. That's at least a draft. So that'll be a little less to concentrate on. And then I think as soon as we finish supremacy, you're just going to fire it right up with, you know, something else on the supremacy league, because we have four different leagues or five different leagues in one there. So you're going to keep me busy all year, pretty much.
Yeah, I'm curious. At what point do you think you're going to need a breather? at what point are you going to regret this? Do you think that'll come?
I think it'll be when all of the rookie auctions are going on at the same time, because I'm sure those will all happen right at draft time. And I'll have to do a lot of prep beforehand. And just knowing how much money I'm going to spend, it's going to be tough. I think after that, I will need a break. So I'm thinking right around like May, mid-May is when I'm going to have my complete and total breakdown and say I can't do it.
If it makes you feel better, I've considered waiting until at least like a week after the draft to have ours. Just because like everybody starts on that Monday after the draft.
Well, you know, MFL kind of screwed me this year because, you know, the delay that occurred.
Yeah, they were supposed to be spread out.
A lot of them were supposed to be spread out. They were staggered. And I was like, all right, you know, if you get into one for a week, I'll be well into that before I get to the next one. It'll be perfect. And then MFL shut down.
You'll have a feel of the auction. You'll know what path you're taking.
Yeah, exactly. And then the MFL shut down and everyone got delayed. So everyone wanted to start immediately. So.
Yeah, so when you click on a league, when you go to like put in a bid, how much time do you spend trying to remember the scoring settings of that particular of that particular league versus all the other ones? Because none of these leagues have crossover. I guess the Kitchen Sink does. For those ones, since you're in multiple of those have crossover, but none of your other leagues have the same scoring system, right?
No, they're all different in certain aspects. As we've talked about several times, Scott has his own way of trying to even out the positions where running backs are a little more important.
We'll just call him Evil Scott from now on.
Evil Scott, yeah.
I think that's appropriate now.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, Evil Scott, who said he wouldn't bid more than 15% on a player and then just completely destroyed that.
Spent like 800 on four or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So there, you know, his format is definitely more running back centric. It kind of evens out the position. There's a little bit of tight end premium, and then you get the Kitchen Sinks, which in my mind, we'll see, but looks like it's very wide receiver favorite.
Hopefully you're right, because that's kind of what I think too. So since we're going at it together in one league, hopefully we're both not wrong.
That's right. Yeah. So, and then there's, you know, each of the other ones have their own variations as far as whether there's a point per carry or there's a half point PPR, full point PPR. So no, to answer your question, I gave up trying to figure it out a while ago. So when I go into an auction, it's really just, I'm trying to get players that I like. I can't even pay attention to the scoring format anymore.
You're not exploiting a scoring format based on this running back catches six passes, even if he only gets
exactly
12 yards. He's the guy that I want in this league. So
yep.
That's probably good, because otherwise it might end up getting a little too confusing.
Yeah.
So in season, when have you set like yourself a schedule on like, okay, this time of day on Sunday morning, nobody can come by me. I have to make sure my lineups are set. what's your plan of attack for in-season management here?
Yeah, so I currently have a 14-month-old who, by the time the season will roll around, she will be that's another 5 months from now. So she'll be around 19 months old. So that kind of hinders me, right? So I really think that my time is just going to be, and I hope this isn't too much information for people, it's going to be in the bathroom. Like that's it. Cause my wife's going to think I have stomach problems because I'm going to be in there for an hour, but
start it now so that it doesn't seem like it just comes on during NFL season.
Right,
like exactly. It just happened over the summer, you know?
Yeah, no, I honestly, my wife's great about it, and she knows that there's roster setup time. And, you know, luckily with the podcast and with the, you know, with the website and the preparation that we do for those kind of things, it does make it a little easier because you're always on top of the news where, you know, I remember before those things, just from regular fantasy, you have to go look at all the news before you set your lineup, and then you go ahead and set your lineup. Whereas at least now I'm kind of up to date on everything. So it's really just a matter of, all right, yeah, I know I got to pull that player out, put this player in, put, you know, this kind of thing. So the in-season management for me is it shouldn't be too bad. you know, that Sunday morning, again, take a half an hour of some alone time and make sure everything's set. Game days for the Patriots are a little tougher for me because I'm usually in the parking lot by 9 o'clock. So it gets a little tricky sometimes, but I make it work.
How did people operate before there were smartphones?
Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, you had five guys that ended up being out for that game. Oh, I'm sorry. I was gone. I left and went to the game. I couldn't do anything with my lineup.
That's right. Well, when you have Sal on in April and we're on together, we'll make him tell us how he used to send carrier pigeons on his first league to set his lineup. So he loves to tell that story. It'll the management for me will be, you know, luckily during the week I have some time, as long as my boss isn't listening to this. I do have some time to set, you know, to make some trade offers and work on the waiver wire and that kind of thing. So should be okay there.
That is good. And how much, I'll give you one little tip here. I don't know if you've reached out to Scott yet, but he's got an awesome little tool that plugs into MFL. And basically you can set all of your lineups on one page. You can check you can check all your waivers on one page, like everything. It'll bring up just little tiny boxes of each individual league that you program into it. So instead of having to switch league to league, it's all right there in front of you. And it's extremely helpful. Highly recommend that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to reach out to Scott on that, evil Scott, and find out if he will be a little less evil and help me out with that this year. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll send it to you. I think he likes you. He let you in a couple of his leagues, so I think you pass. Either that or he just saw – well, no, because you did well in your first dynasty, so can't even say he just let you in because he wanted to take your money.
No, he probably did. I mean, you know, the original pigs anyway, for sure. He was probably like, yeah, this should be good for a couple of years. He, you know, it'll take him a while to rebuild, so.
After year one, I've already decided that I think I'm in rebuild mode. I mean, I knew I was playing against, like, you know, really good fantasy football players. It's not a league that's of unknowns. They're all in the know. But, man, there are just some rosters on there that you're like, how in the world did they get that roster? And most of them did it because they borrowed against, like, money for the next 20 years and built up some roster that should be hugely illegal. At least that's what I'm telling myself because – I didn't go that route. So,
well, listen, I have money to spare in that league. So if you want to sell some players, you know, let me know.
I know. I sold you Dante Moncrief. That was that's the only place that I've sold him so far. And I quickly went and bought him in another league after that.
Just to make you feel better?
To balance it back out. It made me feel good.
Yeah, he was one of our binkies of the Falafel House podcast last year. We were all pretty high on him, and it obviously didn't work out. But I'm doubling down this year on Moncrief. So.
Yep, I'm not out. I just bid up Mark Hill earlier, and he sent me a message, and he was just like, yeah, thanks for the bid up on Dante Moncrief. And I said, some things just can't change. Like,
That's it.
It felt good. It felt like 2016. Like, because he and I fought over Moncrief in so many leagues last year. It was ridiculous. So during the season, then, do you play any DFS as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll usually set a couple of lineups a week. I haven't. It's not a regular thing for me. It's not something I get into a ton. Like I said, you know, if I happen to have some time, I'll go set a few lineups. But if I miss a week, I don't, you know, it's not the end of the world for me, that kind of thing. But I'll play. I'm not terribly good at it for some reason.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. I don't know what it is about the salary cap and the daily that really just doesn't click with me. Much better at golf than I am with football for daily, but you know, I do okay, but not certainly not what I'd like to do. Mostly it's just throwing away money there. So I usually keep it small.
Well, I'm curious if all the lineup setting that you'll have to do for your dynasty leagues and everything will take away some of that thrill of setting the lineup in DFS. Plus it is one of the pillars of the Supremacy League. So we get to play it in that.
Anyways. Yeah, that's yeah, and there'll be a component to that, I think, there may be a component to that in the Floffle League as well. I might be stealing that from you, so we'll see about that.
Yeah, and I'll run pigs bets in both leagues for it to bet some of our pig cash, and Power Hungry, we do it. We bet just a little bit of money each week on a DFS lineup, but I don't even know if I played any money at all at the second half of the season last year. Just because the other ones became a lot more fun. Just
see, that to me is the brilliancy of evil Scott Fish and his pigs leagues with this bankroll and the betting, because I swear it's genius. I mean, you could literally bet on anything in those leagues and people do anything.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me, and it's great because it's just a little bit of action, a little bit of fun. It's not real money, so but it's almost more important than real money. So it's great.
I'd rather win fantasy money because I can't buy that. Yeah. And I can't go and like I can't do something. I can't be like, okay, I'll work an extra hour and earn some pigs bucks.
I don't know. There's Scott might have a program for you for that. Like maybe if you help him.
I would volunteer. I will intern. I will start. I will find people in Pigs 2 if it gets me money in Pigs 1. Like I will totally sell out. Whatever it takes.
You hear that, Scott? That's great.
Sign me up. Actually, I don't know. It might not be worth it, the amount of work that he does.
Yeah, with what he has to go through, it's probably not. You're probably right.
I know he does have a lot of programs set. He's pretty savvy with the computer. So I know he's automated a lot of it to make it easier on himself, which is fantastic. The more automation you can do and stuff like that, the better. Cause I don't know how he has time to do all that he does. It's crazy. You're going to have to do what he does. And unfortunately I do too. You'll just have to stop sleeping.
Yeah. I think that's really what it boils down to. So a lot of stuff will be done after the wife falls asleep. So,
stay up an extra hour or two at night, and you can go through all the waiver wires, everything. You can look over all the news tidbits that you missed and all that. So so you did touch on it just a little bit when you asked what I did this year. What are your plans for next year? Are you going to try and prevent yourself? Like, have you already told yourself, I'm not joining any more leagues next year? Have you made yourself that promise, which – you will break, FYI.
Well, I mean, look, I made that promise this year, and then today I joined another one. So clearly I'm not very good at sticking to it. No, I mean, it'll all depend really on how this year goes as far as the lineup setting and the day-to-day operation of it. Because if it is kind of a bit too much, I mean, we'll see. Because what I think will happen is I'll manage it fine. Because like we said, you're talking about a half an hour in the morning. You're doing the prep work throughout the week for the other stuff. So hopefully that will help. And that'll be, we'll move, it'll be pretty quickly on Sundays and those kind of things. If that is the case, and I got no auctions going on next year around February, and someone says, hey, I got this idea for a league, yeah, I probably will end up in one or two more. I can't imagine myself joining 10 again in one season.
So 10, that's the number? You did add it up? You joined 10 leagues this year?
Yeah, so this year it was...
And they're not, like, I mean, we've talked about it. They're not just simple little leagues. No. Like, you've joined 10
Pigs, Pigs 1 and 2, 3 Kitchen Sinks, Power Hungry, Supremacy, which is actually like 5 leagues in 1.
Yeah, Supremacy is a beast. Well, we'll get to it, folks. It'll come out in a couple of months. I don't know. I can't remember the schedule.
MFL 10 That Never Ends, Catch 22, and I feel like there's one more. Oh, and then the Falafel one. So, yeah, 10 leagues all this year. Far too many. I hope my wife doesn't find this podcast and listen to it. No offense. I'm not going to let her download it. She
won't. Don't worry. She won't. It's fun. It's addicting. We all love the startup. I mean, that's
the problem.
Possibly the most exciting part of a dynasty league. But for some reason, just doing a redraft, doesn't have that same feeling to it. It's still fun, but knowing that you're only drafting players for 1 year, even if it's an auction format and you're buying players for 1 year, there's still something about it that's just not quite as exciting, which is how we all end up in way too many leagues. Have you thought about what you're going to have to do when you finally decide, all right, I've gone overboard and I'm in too deep and I need to cut a league?
Yeah, the cutting of the leagues is something that, I just joined them all this year, so I can't cut them. I certainly won't cut them this year. But yeah, I mean, when that day comes to me, and we've talked about this, to me, it's which leagues aren't active, because that's the fun, right? You know, the actual management of the league and whether you win or lose is all good and everything, but it's really the conversations, the trading, the negotiations, all of that stuff's what make the leagues great. So if there's not a good group chat and there's not a lot of activity and people aren't sending trade offers and that kind of thing, it's, you know, it's probably those are the leagues that I'll look to cut if I have to cut. Those are the ones that'll get cut first for sure. So I'll be in all these leagues this year. I try to stick with commitments too, right? So I don't want to leave a league if I, you know, for one, if a team's in bad shape or anything like that, you know, I don't want to leave the league until I at least make it into a place where I think someone can do something with it when they do take it over. So we'll see what happens, but I expect to be in these leagues for a couple years, depending on how many I end up adding next year. We'll see what the year, you know, the 2019 season looks like. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's activity level, right? If there's not a lot of activity level, those for sure are the ones that I'll cut first.
Yeah, and one thing, you're not leaving mine, because we have progressive pots, so you would have to give up. And same with pigs, like you can't leave progressive pot leagues.
Yeah, no, that's so right.
I've got you hooked forever, obviously.
That's it. Yeah.
So you might as well pay your next like 100 years worth of dues to me just right now, you know?
So you're gonna give me some interest on that then? Is that
sure?
Yeah.
Send that check on over. I know you're in it for 100 years. So
that's right. I'm actually gonna leave all of these teams to my daughter. That's the goal, right?
That is like at some point, I mean, that will happen. Like there will be people that, all right, they have played in the, maybe there will be a league that literally lasts people's lifetimes.
Yep. We aren't there yet, but we will be someday.
I sure hope my kids play fantasy football.
What are you going to talk to them about? I mean, that's going to be just going to be awkward.
That will be awkward. I mean, I think I brought it up on here before, like the NFL fantasy commercials. They're like so dead on. Like without fantasy, what would friends talk to each other about? I've got a few years left of just getting on them, you know, about grades and things like that. So with all the auctioning that you're doing right now, and the chats that you're in are highly active chats. You participate in them. Yep. We go back and forth a lot right now because we're trying to figure out what to do with our co-owned team. Do you talk to people more about football than you talk about anything else? And then more specifically, do you ever feel bad that you most likely talk to not strangers, but people you don't know, like in real life, probably more than your wife in a given day if you're at work and stuff?
So the first question, you probably talk more football than anything else, because not just in these chats and everything. I mean, that's what most people around work and around anywhere else in my social circles, that's what people know me as, right? I'm one of the football guys, you know, whether they know I'm on a podcast or not, or they just know that I'm a Patriots season ticket holder and they want to talk football in general. I think that outside of actual like work conversations, and I'm an insurance guy, so my work is, you know, what I have to say at work is typically boring anyway, so no one at work even wants to talk to me about my work.
Talk to people about paper, the price of paper.
So I talk a lot of football even outside of the people that play fantasy. So I would say that yes, that's a good portion of my life at this point. Even some of my best friends, you know, there are guys that I share the tickets with, or there are guys, you know, even, you know, some of the friends that I've just known forever. That's just what we have. And, you know, one of the biggest things we have in common. So, as far as the, talking to strangers over your wife thing, I think I do a pretty good job of communicating with my wife throughout the day, at least. We text a lot. So that's good. But Do I feel bad about it? No, not really. I feel more bad about the fact that I probably should be doing more actual work at work than being on Voxer or being on Twitter. I feel worse about that because they're paying me. Like when I'm at work, my wife doesn't, you know, my wife doesn't know what I'm doing or not anyway. She thinks I'm working or she actually knows that I'm not working because she knows I'm on Twitter and stuff anyway. But I think that I feel more, you know, feel worse about that because they are paying me salary to do things. And you know, I've never missed a deadline. I will be honest.
There you go.
But I certainly should be
replaced.
Right. So, and you know, the other thing I will say, and I recommend this to anyone who's thinking about getting into an insane amount of leagues. I take the first couple hours when I get home at night, and I think you do the same, right? It sounds like it anyway. I take the first couple of hours when I get home and I spend that's my family time. I don't mess with that. I'm usually not on my phone. I'm usually not on the computer. Those are the hours, even with the auctions that are going on right now. I make sure I check that before work or right before I get home so that I'm in a good position so that I can check them later when everyone goes to bed. But those couple hours, you know, that's dinner time with my wife and kid. It's time to put the kid to bed. That's important to me. So I don't really mix fantasy with that. And I think that that makes me feel okay about all the other fantasy that I do.
Yeah, it is. It's important to find a balance. I will say I'm pretty bad about being on my phone. But I have a 9, 7, and 6-year-old who are constantly on their iPods. It's not like I'm taking anything away from them. They're typically ignoring me at this point.
Right.
So, and they had those before I even had my phone that is, you know, attached to me at all times now. And then at night, yeah, we when my wife and I, when we sit down to relax, like we put them away and take a little while to relax. And then, you know, I do things like this late at night. We record late. when she goes to bed. So, you know, that way we're not bothering anybody. All right. So we've got one question here for the out of the league part. You have mentioned that you have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You can raise her to be a fan of one of the following three teams. The only way that she's going to like football. Either this or she just doesn't like football. She can either be a Dolphins fan, a Jets fan, or a Bills fan. That's it. You have to choose. You get one of those three, or she just doesn't like football. She says, "Daddy, why do you have to watch football on Sundays? Can't we go do something else?"
So no, wait a minute. So it's not only that she doesn't like football, but then she's got to guilt me about football too.
Well, obviously. otherwise, you just choose no fanhood for.
Look, in that case, there's no question. If I absolutely have to pick one, it's the Buffalo Bills because they're a sad and pathetic franchise that will never win, and they're not really our competition. Not that I think the Jets or the Dolphins are much better, to be quite honest with you, but they have seasons where they're at least okay. Buffalo will forever be 8-8. They're 9-7 maybe sometimes, 7-9 sometimes. They're always going to hover around there. And having lived in upstate New York for a year a while back, I will say they're passionate fans. They're good blue-collar fan base. I like that about them. I respect them as a fan base because throughout the suffering, they seem to stick to it, much like some of the Cincinnati Bengals fans that I know. But I respect that about them. So I would think that would be the one I'd pick if I have to.
All right. So you made it through. Now go raise her as a Patriots fan so she can understand what it's like to be winning all the time and just be arrogant as can be and – always make sure she always mentions the Patriots at every possible turn.
So at the most recent Super Bowl victory parade, there was there's a bunch of kids at the parade and you know a bunch of them with signs, but one in particular, this kid held up a sign saying he was 15 years old and he's seen 13 championships, I think, from being in the Boston area.
There's not a lot of good reasons to punch a kid in the face. I'm kidding. That's a close to a good one.
When I was growing up, we didn't have that. You know, the Patriots were terrible, absolutely downright awful. The Celtics, you know, when I was really, really young, were good, and then a whole lot of nothing. And then the, you know, the Bruins were always okay, and but never really won anything. And the Red Sox were the tortured franchise. So, you know, I grew up through my share of losing, and the kids today just have no idea what that's like. So,
yeah, they definitely don't. If it ever happens here in Cincinnati, I will take every bit of gloating that it has been building for years and years. The reason I'm so into fantasy is because of my reality sports. So they drive me to something that I find entertaining, because, boy, they're let down year after year after year in reality. But all right, Kevin, well, I appreciate you joining me for this. This was fun. It's always fun to talk to people that are just as passionate about fantasy football. And it's just, to me, watching you like just to go through this, like, I went through it last year, and I remember how excited I was and how much fun it was. And I mean, just that constant, oh yes, I'll take that league too. I'll jump in that league. It's fun. I did not get overwhelmed by it. It doesn't sound like you're going to either.
Nah, I joke about how stressful it is, but at the end of the day, it's a lot of fun. I get to check a lot of things and check a lot of auction bids, and it's a lot of fun. So
yeah, if we weren't having fun, we wouldn't be doing it, and we wouldn't be talking about it at almost midnight on a night when I'm off tomorrow, but I'm guessing you might have to work. But
yeah, we'll see. Work, if you consider it, you know, auction bidding working. But yeah.
You have to go in and
I have to go to the office.
I'll be at my computer in about a half hour. I'll check the bids then. So
that's right.
All right, but before we get out of here, give everybody your information one more time real fast.
All right, so it's falafelhouse.com. It is the Falafel House Fantasy Football Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow me on Twitter as @WallyCentral. Hit me up for questions or anything like that. I'm always available to chat. You can also check out Falafel House or @FalafelHouse on Twitter as well. And then the other guys, I will shout them out one more time, @SidSkeeton, @Lito Sal. You know, those are two guys that are on the podcast with me. Those are great, great follows as well.
Yeah, they actually are both good guys. I enjoy both of them. I won't say which one we were teasing when we said that one of them is a good guy. We'll let you guys figure that out. So as for me, you can interact with me at all times. I am on Twitter @EmpireFFL. I would recommend, you know, Kevin's podcast. You can go over to dynastyhappyhour.com. You can find it on there. You can find this on there. There's a bunch of podcasts up there now. They've put a bunch up on their podcast network page where you can, you know, maybe hear a podcast you've never heard before and you hear something new. So go over there and give some new ones a chance if you haven't heard them yet, or go over there and just listen. But as for me, I always appreciate rates, reviews, retweets, all that stuff. Share the show. Help it grow. I appreciate that. Until the next episode, enjoy the insanity.